Hey, thank you for always, always tuning in and listening to the Aftermarket's original and premier podcast. Now, we strive to bring you information to make your life easier. Hey, I'm with my good friend, Chris Clodier, and his friend, Jay Mikulovich. Chris Clodier has brought his wisdom and insights to the podcast over the years, and he and his brother own Golden Rule Auto Care in Dallas, Texas, and is the CEO of Autotech.me, while Jay Mikulovich is the founder and CEO of Revival Technology, LLC, will be traversing the world of cybersecurity. Now, cybersecurity, as we all know, is the defense and protection of your computers, mobile devices, or any electronic gadgets connected to the internet against any form of malicious software and hackers. You may be saying, why me, Carm? I don't need to care about this. Many say differently. You've got to take a proactive position to minimize threats that loom around to affect computer systems. Learn from this episode about the best practices that are needed to protect your business from threats that include ransomwares, viruses, and malwares. Don't ignore this. We tend to overlook securing our network and systems with the attitude that it won't happen to me. Hey, welcome to the show. Carm Capriato here, your host of Remarkable Results Radio, the Town Hall Academy, and AftermarketWeekly.com. Now, before we dive deep into this really interesting topic with Chris Clodier and Jay Mikulovich, I want to thank my sponsor, NAPA Gold Certification. Hey, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with NAPA Auto Care in the 2020 NAPA Expo. Join NAPA, including suppliers, industry experts, and your peers in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021. It's where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Contact your NAPA store for the details on how to enroll. In the survey responses you've been sending in, and I thank you so much for that, I'm pleased to hear about how much you love topic diversity. Guess what? We'll continue to do our best to deliver fresh perspectives to keep you moving forward.
But the problem is you have people who are like, no, I'd rather make my living, you know, being a criminal than actually, you know, going and doing good with my life.
Hey, more from Chris and Jay in a minute. Now, not sure how you listen, but the majority of you do listen mobile. And if you're not listening on a mobile device, download a free listening app at remarkableresults.biz/listen. There you'll find links to Apple or Google Podcasts, among others. Enjoy the insights wherever you go. Hey, have you seen the latest shop tour that we did last Tuesday live? Well, don't fret. You can watch every shop tour at aftermarketweekly.com. Yep. Every episode is archived on the website, along with the cool information and insights we give you each week. I have a ton of fun with my guests on the live Aftermarket Weekly show, so don't miss one show. And if you do, check out the archives at aftermarketweekly.com. Hey, let's study the wide world of cybersecurity and understand its importance to your business, computer, and mobile networks. Hey, a great and a warm welcome to my friend Chris Clodier, partner in Golden Rule Auto Care and the CEO of Autotech.me. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Carm. How are you?
You know, I've known you for how many years now? Almost five. And I finally got the French pronunciation of your name, Clodier. Thank God. Man, thank you. Thank you. And now I'm going to introduce Jay Mikulovich. And so here's Chris and Jay in the Ultimate Geek Talk, because you guys are both extreme geeks. Jay, founder, CEO of Revival Technologies, a technology company. Chris knew that he had to come on, and we had to talk about some stuff that really means a lot to our industry and things that we should watch for. A couple of things we may talk about today, and I hope we do, ransomware, clickbait, and passwords, and then a bunch of other stuff. Let's start, guys.
Cybersecurity, Carm, cybersecurity. That's going to be the topic that's going to cover lots of subtopics.
I'm game. Let's do it. What about cybersecurity? Is this really important? I hear about it all the time. I hear about ransomware all the time. I've been lucky. Somehow I've been lucky. Don't know why or how, but I'm on the internet. I mean, it's my life, my world. So is your businesses. Have I been lucky, or is it one day it's going to hit me?
I want to give this to Jay, but I just want to point this out. So I watched a presentation from Jay because he's one of my business groups. And he had this little graphic and it said cybersecurity. And the guy is at the little kids table and he finally gets to go to the adults table. And I think we've had to come to a recognition now that cybersecurity has to be dealt with at a small business level. It's very important. Go ahead, Jay.
First of all, thank you so much for having me on this show. It's a pleasure to be here. It's actually just a very important topic. We kind of just kind of overlook this topic. We think just cybersecurity is somewhere out there just for big companies. And we don't need to worry about this nowadays. But me just being in IT industry for 20 years, I can tell you just so many businesses unprepared to what we're facing right now. It's just like having a door wide open on the corner street, right? That's how it looks right now. And we think just, you know, cybersecurity is for big companies, you know, like just big enterprises. But to be honest with you, just small businesses is the low-hanging fruit for cyber criminals. So that's why it's very important just to make sure just you have a protection, you have policies, procedures in place to protect your business. And we're going to just dive into details just as we go. And this is very important. And just because your pretty much business, your baby is at stake. It's so dear to our heart because to what we built, and it could happen to anybody at any time. And it's just a matter of time. If you don't have anything in place, it's just a matter of time.
So you mean the bad guys get up every morning and they pretend like they're going to fish in a barrel with an M80?
Absolutely. And I want to add to his analogy of leaving your door open to your business, to your corner store. We have data that we have to protect. Our customer data, we have credit card data that we may or may not be housing, but it's going through our network. And now, Carm, we have vehicle data because all of those cars are becoming connected now. So now we're responsible, right, to make sure that our door isn't open so that guy who wakes up every morning, that guy who's sneaking around on the internet looking for those back doors. And it's not even back doors. Jay didn't say back door. He said front door, wide open.
That's scary for me to even think about. So guys, ransomware, you know, we hear about it all the time. I'm so nervous about every one day getting, you know, somebody hijacking me and they say I got to pay to get my life back in order. How could we prevent that?
Ransom, it's just pretty much like in old movies that we've seen, right? Just if you have something that's very valuable to you and somebody takes it and then just ask, you know, to pay, okay? So that's pretty much what happens with the cyber criminals. They found it's a gold pot for them and they go after businesses because the most important is data that you have on your computers and your productivity. So you're either just sacrificing data or you're sacrificing your productivity. So, and because every minute counts in business, it's money. So that's why just you want to make sure just your business up and running. But when cyber criminals disrupt that, they give you a chance. Okay, we can remove our ransomware from your computers, from your system, and you're going to be back operational, or we're going to give your data back. Computers can be replaced, right? Pretty much you can rebuild the whole office, the whole shop from a technology standpoint. It's not a problem, but data is the most important piece of it. And if data is lost, pretty much you lost your business. And it's most of the businesses don't recover after this. That's just pretty much like a nail in the coffin.
What do you guys hear? What do you got to pay to get back to normal?
We've heard from other companies, and just the way actually just because we partner with Dell, Dell Computers, and they actually just requested us to help them on one of the projects because one of the clients that reached out to Dell was hit by ransomware. It was a manufacturing company. It was just very, very sad picture, very sad experience to see just what they had to go through, the owner's emotions involved in this, because he could feel like just he about to lose the whole operations, lose the whole business, all those years that just he put into. His heart, his sweat, investments, he was about to lose it. So we were involved in this project trying to just, you know, get operations up and running. They were requested to pay ransom for $20,000. Okay. And actually just that's a very, very low price. To be honest with you, just, you know, I will usually just you do not negotiate with criminals and just especially like terrorists like that. But he ended up just paying. It depends how lucky you're going to get. It depends what group hits you. They released some keys so they could decrypt their computers, their system, but still there were some missing. So he got some data back. He was pretty much down almost for 2 weeks.
Carm, what they do a lot, and what you can do a lot, especially in a small business, is not pay the ransom, like Jay said. And what's that going to cost you? That's going to cost you some time. So let's say your stuff was in the cloud. Let's say you had a cloud-based, you know, shop management system. Let's say you're using Google Docs, but somehow your files became encrypted, your OS, you can't use it anymore. It's going to cost you a couple hours. It's going to cost you a little bit of money for an IT to come guy and come and reinstall your software. So what's that? $400, $500 on a couple laptops, a couple computers, if you don't pay. What I think we need to pay attention to is, once again, we're talking about, you know, cybersecurity and making sure that you don't get, you know, have this infest in your shop. Because what happens if you have a car that's connected to your network? And what happens if, when this is going to happen, it's already starting to happen, is you become the infector of the car. Now, if the car gets infected with ransomware, now you're talking about a $30,000 car that the brakes won't work anymore, that the customer can't drive. You just can't go reflash or reinstall the car like you can a computer. So I think it kind of goes deeper into our industry to make sure that you're paying attention, not just to your, you know, to, okay, if you get some ransomware and some things get encrypted on your local computer, but your network's protected. So you're protecting those third party type things that are coming on your network that you may or may not realize, right? Because cyber criminals are looking for the easiest path, the path of least resistance.
Is this theory or real world, Chris, about infecting a car or vehicle?
It's already happened. It's already happened where they've
it's already did.
You know, Tesla, that I think the brakes got shut down. There's been multiple examples of people unlocking cars.
Wasn't there that Jeep issue? And didn't somebody say they purposely did that, I guess, to prove to the world that, yes, you can do it, right?
Donnie Seifer, you've had him on the show. He's great. He always talks about this. He's, you know, he's a big proponent of understanding firewalls internal of cars, and as well as firewalls in your network, right? I brought Jay on because Jay, you know, he's got a great IT company. He's a smart guy, right? So he's dealing with it on multiple levels. He has IT auto repair shops that he deals with, but then, like you said, he has manufacturers. You know, he helps, you know, lots of small businesses and do this, and so it's already happening. Like you said, $20,000. He had a choice, but he really didn't have a choice. Can we spend $20,000 getting our data back?
It's a lot of money for $1 million, $2 million business. I get that. But let's talk about the fact that you said you get an IT guy, you reinstall the operating system, some of your applications, hopefully the data is up on the web and you reconnect. Is the computer vulnerable in any way? That piece of hardware, I mean, does that have to be like totally scrubbed or something?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Just, you know, just you probably just heard that, like cars, right? They have a computer, onboard computer. And the same thing just with the hardware just in your shop. Even just, you know, you have computers connect to your alignment machine, to your inspection machine. That's all in the network. So if something happens, it could happen on the software level, and also just there is some risk involved on the hardware, because cyber criminals, any kind of hackers, they're trying to find a way in. And there are multiple ways how they can get in. It's like in a house, right? Just you can get through the front door, through the back door, through the window, or some other way. So even the computer itself, we're not talking about Windows operating system, Mac OS, it could be vulnerable on that level. Because when it's everything connected, you probably, I'm not sure just if you've heard about the definition of firmware and BIOS, even just some processors could be vulnerable as well. So that's why just it's very important just to maintain every piece of your equipment, not just on the software level and also on the hardware level.
I think it was Target, to Jay's point, that one of their employees plugged in a little stick into a USB drive, and that was the Target vulnerability. So like Jay says, it's not going to necessarily come through your network. It could come through somebody plugging in something to one of your devices that's sitting idle in the shop.
That's a great, great point, Chris. If I got hit, I would want to be blaming something that I didn't do correctly, my virus scan, I would be saying, what is this junk I have called virus protection? It's not working.
Carm, I think a really good best practice that I know my shop does, and I think there's a lot of shops that do this, is just making sure your networks are segmented. You have subnets, right? You have different lanes for software to drive in, as you can think of it from a car terminology, right? I know that in my shop, my customer network is segmented in its own subnet, meaning my customers can't get to my main network, which is my data with my, you know, typically my main computers and all the things that my guys use, my service advisors use for checking out a customer. And then I also have a third network with my wireless devices. And that's why we're kind of educating right now. You know, why do I have my wireless devices on a whole nother subnet? Because you know what my guys do? They come in and they use their phones. And we have tablets on there. So I can't stop them from clicking something that potentially downloads something on their phone that then infects my network. And I can't have it infect my main network. And so I think that's why we have Jay. This is the ultimate, right? So if you're anything, you're like, oh, do I have just one network? Or do I have three networks? Is my data just secured in my different lanes? It's a good question to ask your software or your network guy.
But is it really hard to do that? To, as you said, the word subnet, I've heard it, but I didn't know that you can actually implement it in your business. Because what do I know? Is that where you come up? Remember you said just hire an IT guy, Jay? Are those the kind of people that come to your business? And without getting into the weeds and doing an Einstein on me, can you give me the upper level here?
From the automotive perspective, when you have lanes, right, for your traffic. And actually, just, you know, all network traffic is, it's similar to car traffic on the highway. Just you have flow one going one way and then the other. So that's why you're trying to keep it separated so nothing would cross, right, especially just when something is important. So, but keep it simple. There are many ways how you can just secure your network, right? And of course, it's more advanced stuff. For example, just very basic. When you come to the shop, right, just now it's a common thing just to provide public Wi-Fi. And you need to make sure just public Wi-Fi is secured and separated from your internal network. You cannot let anybody in on your internal network, especially just that's whoever just comes to your place.
Okay, that's a lane, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
And it has a different pathway to the internet. It will never crisscross into your system, your computers, or your cloud, because it has a channel, a lane. And I love that. But here I'm going to ask the next question. Do you have to have a super geek to do that?
We get to the point, Carm, where I think we have to start relying on experts. If you have some networking knowledge and you want to go into your router, and a lot of routers are pretty easy to set up subnets now. So it just depends on how, you know, I'm saying this to an audience that sometimes, you know, we talk about P&Ls. Well, to me, a P&L isn't hard to read, but then for some people it is because they're just not numbers people. So I think if you're an IT person or you have some IT about you, then you go on your router, there's ways to, it's point and click now. But I think if you can't do that, that's when you go hire the accountant. That's when you hire, you know, the expert to help you understand what your network's doing. If you're using the same username or same password and, you know, it's just one network, then chances are, if you use the same password, that you don't have the two lanes that you need.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Chris and Jay offer important advice on computer updates and viruses. Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a Gold Certified Auto Care Center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through NAPA Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on NAPA's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NAPA Tracks shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing NAPA store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop. I'm sorry I'm getting in the weeds, but I have to ask this because it's just me. So my customer that comes in that wants to use my Wi-Fi, we give them Wi-Fi customer, which has a different IP address, and I think, as you say, a different subnet to the internet. Is that how that happens?
Right. It's going to have its own segment, its own lane of traffic, okay? That's not going to mix with your main traffic.
And my team in the shop has a different Wi-Fi access. It still goes out to my shop management system somehow. It travels down a different lane, Chris?
It absolutely should. Because you can have people, I don't want to get super geeky and stuff, but you can have, traffic sniffed and stuff. So there are people, when they want data, they've got all kinds of ways to read. And we're going talking packet level, network packet level. If your packets aren't encrypted, which a lot of them that travel the internet, that's HTTPS. What does that mean? It means that your packets are encrypted as you're running through the lane. Your windows have tin on them. And you have all this protection on your vehicle versus you're just driving with your top down. And
so if I'm communicating on an HTTPS laneway, I stand the chance of not being cybercrimed?
It's a protocol. It's a packet transfer protocol. So packets, when they go transfer over the internet, you might have a big web page and it's going to go in chunks when it goes down the computer. It goes in what they call packets, right? And if it's HTTPS, those packets are encrypted. It's still going down your lane when it comes to you, when it comes to your firewall and your router at the top, right? But it's going to stay encrypted for the most part. So if somebody's sniffing different networks looking for unencrypted packets that might have the word password, or they might have the word username, or they might have key things that they're looking for to go, oh, let me grab this packet. Oh, I just found so-and-so's username. Or I just found a credit card number because somebody just sent in an email and there's no encryption on this packet. Because once it travels outside your network, if it's not encrypted, then it's up to the world to steal your data.
The most logical next question for me, guys, is this. How could this happen with Gmail and Outlook and all this stuff going on, Microsoft? Are we using secondhand lower level apps and software that makes us vulnerable?
Well, I would say just that hackers always find a way. They're looking for new ways how they could exploit data and just collect data. As you said, just for example, they could just look for any kind of traffic. If they get into your network, right? Because now everything is on the internet, okay? And if everything is on the internet, it's got its own IP, and it means just you're publicly accessible, okay? You have a cyber criminal coming to your, walking through the neighborhood and comes to each door and tries if there is a lock in it. If it's locked, unlocked. Pretty much that's what happens every single second. Imagine just your business is like a house in that neighborhood. So cyber criminals will be coming and they will try front door, see if it's locked. They're going to try just if your window is unlocked as well. So they will try to exploit different ways. And of course, they could get very crafty, and that's how ransomware gets into your network. You get pretty much whole house or just your whole business gets ransomed.
Okay, so how do I lock my door, Jay? How do I lock my door?
Policies and procedures, right? Just there are a couple of rules then, just to, but basic, and we're gonna cover it, that you can start with, and that's number one, is your passwords. Number one rule nowadays, you cannot reuse the same passwords, because we have so many online accounts, right? We have Amazon, we have, you know, Walmart, we have so many shoppings, banking and things like that. And for us, just it's natural to reuse the same password and think that it's going to be secured. If you remember just, 2016, when Yahoo got compromised, and then pretty much all Yahoo email accounts, or most of the Yahoo email accounts, leaked their passwords. So it became public on dark web. And what cyber criminals did, they went and reused the same passwords for Gmail, for bank accounts, for any kind of shopping accounts. And that's the rule number one. Your passwords must be unique for every single service that you're using. You cannot reuse your passwords, because if something happens, it gets compromised, then just you're in trouble.
Okay, raise your hand if you're listening to this and you have multiple similar passwords. Oh my God, did you see all those hands go up, Chris?
It's easy to do. And I'll tell you what's even worse now is, you know, technology has made things worse. The browsers, that when they save your passwords, man, you go click, there's a little tab in there, and you go, let me go view my passwords, my saved passwords, and they're all unencrypted. And you can go look at what Google or not Chrome saved for your password for your sites, right? If you're not using some sort of vault, you know, there's other programs you can use, but a lot of times people save things in the browser and they're not realizing that stuff's unencrypted. It's wide open. There's other things that are not geeky. Make sure all your computers have some sort of virus protection. And those updates, it's funny, you know, Jay was talking about, hey, you know, I don't want Windows to update before this meeting. It's annoying that Windows is updating every other day, it seems like, but those updates are critical because they're constantly updating security and vulnerabilities. You know, if you're still running Windows
XP
7 or XP, man, there's a reason when they sunset these. Don't use them anymore. Those are huge. I mean, you don't have a front door anymore. You're basically rolling your cart of goods out into the street, and you're going, hey, I'm going to trust that everybody's just not going to go run by and take whatever they want off the cart.
I got a warm feeling that if Microsoft wanted me to update my computer, then there needed to be a reason for it. And every once in a while, I see a neat new feature on stuff, but I'm realizing that it's the underneath stuff that I can't see that they're protecting me. Even, you know, I have an Android phone, and just the other night it said, hey, we're going to do an update. You ready for us to do it? I want it to rock. I want to stay as current as I possibly can, because for me, I'm mitigating my risk, I believe.
I agree. So a lot of people see that as annoyances. They don't realize, why do I need another update? Most of the time, I'm telling you, most of what they're doing is there's some vulnerability. If you go look, and I'm sure Jay does, you know, if you go look at what they're patching or updating, a lot of the times it's patching this. And that's your applications too. Your applications need to be updated. They need to stay updated, because there's just, like Jay said, it's amazing. And the cyber criminals, you know, we talk about this guy, you know, script kiddie sitting in his room. No. What they've done is they've written 1,000,000,000 programs that are probing all the time. Like, there's crawlers and spiders and things that are constantly barraging, like he said, your network, this, that. They're just looking for vulnerability. They're crawling. Just like the web, Google crawls and spiders and indexes. They're doing the same thing.
But Jay, why are they invisible to Fios and Spectrum and Comcast?
Well, to be honest with you, that's why it's important to actually invest in the better equipment, especially if you're a business, right? If you care to put really good lock and a really good door in your house, why don't you care just to put the same thing for your business? The same thing, you have to kind of invest and to make sure you're protected. For example, Chris mentioned about updates, right? There's so many things. There's so many so-called attack vectors. Somebody could attack your software. Somebody could attack even your keyboard. If you have wireless keyboard, there's some Logitech keyboards that are actually vulnerable. Everything what you're typing, they can record that. And as a result, they could actually just then use it against you. So if you type your password somewhere for one service or another service, then they can actually use that and log in somewhere else. Or just log in into your computer and get access to all those passwords that you saved in Chrome on the browsers. Those passwords are accessible, easy to steal, and that's why I do not recommend anybody use that. You have to use professional software, password manager or Vault, as Chris mentioned, to protect yourself. Plus, we need to have unique accounts, that's going to help you as well, because you cannot remember all passwords. We have so many online accounts, it's impossible to remember all passwords.
It's not to scare, Carm. This is why I wanted Jay on, because I think this topic comes up every once in a while, and then it just gets brushed to the side. And what's the joke? And I know it's been told on the show a million times. It's like, you know, I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than the next guy. You just need enough protection where they try and hack you, and they're not going to hack you, and they go down to the person who's not watching your show, who doesn't try and seek knowledge and isn't looking. And one of your questions, Carm, these guys are so, you know, hackers and all that are so good that, you know, they're coming in and Fios doesn't know, or Frontier doesn't know, or Verizon doesn't know, because they're spoofing the browser type. You know, they just think it's you know, regular traffic. If they all turned good, we would have amazing things in this world right now, right? But the problem is you have people who are like, I'd rather make my living, you know, being a criminal than actually, you know, going and doing good with my life.
And you see, just that's the other problem, because just pretty much whole world is interconnected, okay? So it means just you can be somewhere far, far away, 5,000 miles away, and you can attack any computer in the network here and there. And it's pretty much like going through the neighborhood and just trying to just this door, that window. And they do it every single second. You don't even understand just how many trials they attempt every second. If you look at your router log, if we go geeky in this, right, you will see just, you know, port scan. Just they check what's open and what's not open. So that's why just it's important to have a good protection. And nowadays, because everybody's, you know, lots of countries, they stay at home or under lockdown, and people look at it, okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and just try to start doing some hacking. And there's some tools already developed. All they need to do just to run from their computer and attack, you know, company in Europe, company in US, all over the world, because they're trying to find for low hanging fruit. Just if you're not protected, you're going to be a victim. It's just a matter of time. Regarding just, you know, vulnerability, right? So we were told that 8-character passwords is okay now. No, it's not okay. You have to have 13-character passwords, and has to be a mix of numbers, letters, special symbols, because 8-character password, even if it's encrypted, could be hacked within an hour.
Why would people guess my password, Chris Clodier 123? I mean, why? How could they guess that, right?
It's amazing, Carm. And once again, the show isn't a scare. I'll tell you another thing, and we didn't get this. Like, you're talking about, you know, vulnerabilities and ransomware and all this. Another thing is make sure your guys in your shop aren't clicking on and opening random PDFs and random attachments. Like, if something looks suspicious, this is a policy procedure that Jay's talking about. Make sure your guys just aren't, Jim from so-and-so sent me this, and I have no idea who Jim is. It's not a part store. It's just a random customer. Let me click that and open it. Because who knows what's that going to do, right? So you got to be you got to educate your guys. Just don't open everything. And most people, I think, for the most part, are educated, but you can't ever assume. You need to make sure that your guys understand. If I get all of my emails come down and get forward to one box that I monitor. And if I see something that looks suspicious, I immediately call my shops and I immediately say, hey, don't anybody touch that. Don't anybody open that. Don't, you know, and they know that because I'm an IT guy, but then, you know, I want to make sure that, hey guys, there's no reason. And let's make sure we reach out to this person, make sure it's something that we want, right? But, you know, passwords, not opening things, and you know, making sure your network is segmented, and then making sure your software is up to date. I mean, there's four things that I think if you follow those four practices, you're going to run faster than the majority of other, you know, people who are uneducated about this stuff.
So I think what you were just saying about clickbait is if I see something that I get and say, oh, this is really cool, what is it? I have been very careful in my whole life to look at something and said, I didn't ask for that. I have no idea who this person that's sending me an email. Look at all those attachments. Now, a lot of stuff goes to spam. I get that. And 99% of the stuff that's in spam, I didn't ask for it. I don't know anything about it. And I purposely just want to get rid of it. So maybe some of my disciplines have been good. And I guess we want to encourage our people, oh, look, I got mail. It's like, you know, junk mail inside of computers aren't the same as junk mail that you get in the post office box, and you need to be very, very careful of that. But I did want to ask about clickbait. Guys, what should we know about that? I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about, right?
We get attachments all the time from auto repair parts places or from dealerships that have attachments that have wiring diagrams, or they have parts diagrams, or how things go together. So we're constantly getting it. We just have to be careful, right? You have to be, you know, it's not the, hey, you know, my, even though those still come, you know, my grandma, you know, I'm the king of Zimbabwe and I've got $30 million I want to give you. Those emails still come. They've just gotten much smarter about how it looks official. And how, it, you know, and once again, at auto repair shops, we have to be super careful because we are getting a lot of attachments. We are looking at things. So are you expecting this email? Are you expecting this attachment? Are you expecting these things coming in? If not, ask, why are you sending this?
We've seen it on a daily basis. And the most important is there must be training involved. You need to train your staff. That's a human factor. The weakest link is actually a human factor. Now, cyber criminals, they became really, really smart, and they could go into real, you know, details, how they could fish. That's called phishing, P-H-I, right? So they would actually create the same domain name. For example, if it's going to be out of text me, they're going to just put maybe out of texts me or something like that. Maybe there's going to be one letter difference, and they're going to send email to one of your employees because this pretty much could be a public company. Well, you're like, everything is public. You can go on LinkedIn or just find some records who works for who. And they will send email pretending this email came from Chris asking to transfer money or pay to this vendor for the parts and things like that. Okay. That was just, you know, scam to transfer money. Or sometimes they will send attachment, say, hey, look at this. It's very important. The most important, they're trying to create sense of urgency, and also just the body of the email could be off. And as a result, just you have to kind of recognize them. You have to just say, okay, that's going to look suspicious. Let me call Chris and verify that they actually send email like that before I click on anything, because especially kind of external links, even just everything could look really good. Like you received email from Gmail or received email from Outlook email saying you need to reset your password, right? And if you kind of move your mouse over the link, it's going to show where actually it's going to take you. That's one of the ways to recognize. If you move, you don't click. Please, please, never click, okay? Just you move your mouse over the link, and it's going to tell you, taking you to weird, weird website. Nothing to do with that email that just you received. So that's the one way to recognize. But you see, it's very important to also protect your business, because lots of hackers, they go for your contacts. So if they hack your network, they will go after your vendors, they will go after your clients, and they will use their contacts to send emails like pretending it came from you. As a result, you're going to be liable. You're going to be liable for any damages like that.
You're scaring the bejesus out of me.
Well, to be honest with you, it has to be just a healthy hint of fear.
You just can't be loosey-goosey when it comes to this stuff, and I love it. We have done an absolute great job with this. I think we hopefully have shaken a few people's mindsets as it comes to getting their business protected. There were a couple of other things you wanted to cover, Chris.
I'll tell you this right now, your firewall, your switch, or whatever that comes in from Verizon or whatever ISP that you get is probably not going to suffice for your shop. And a lot of shops are going to get that device and they're going to have, you know, some minimal firewall stuff, but you probably want to start looking at upgrades and stuff like that. But then that, you know, it all starts getting complicated, Carm. So, you know, how far do we go with that? Once again, I think that's when you start consulting an IT consultant, when your shop, when you got 40, 50 devices.
When you say you have an upgrade, are you talking specifically about a box that actually houses software that, if you will, is a funnel before it gets to you?
A lot of time they call it software or firmware. I mean, firmware on your switches and devices like that, which don't get updated as much, right? Because they're not like these are kind of passive devices. But you know, if you've got a switch or that initial device that sits at the front of your network and you signed up 20 years ago on Verizon, it's probably way out of date and way vulnerable.
Got it. So the firmware that should have provided some protection that's old, but my ISP would not update that for me, right?
They're not going to. They don't care. So you can put a device behind a device. So if they have minimal protection, then you can put a switch or, you know, router behind that, right, that has, or a firewall behind that that protects your network even more. You can put as many firewalls as you want between that front connection and in the back of your network. You know, Carm, I'd say if you only have one or two texts, don't worry about it. But I still say, look, if you got cars coming in, you've got customer data, you've got customer data, and there's a thing called PII, personal individual information, or that you're responsible for protecting. If you have their address, you have their phone number, and you have their, I think, email, there's three things that identify a person, like you're responsible for protecting that. That gets leaked, then you have a responsibility to go tell all your customers, or it gets hacked, you have a responsibility to go tell them, hey, you know, we hacked your personal information, got hacked. Not just credit card information. I'm just talking about personal information from a customer.
Yeah, that's actually required by law now. If something happened, just you got hacked, you have to report that. For some states, there is even liability. Just if you don't report it, you get fined $1,000 every day that you haven't reported. Plus, on the top of those fees, just you can end up with a lawsuit by your customers because of that. But at the same time, their policies and procedures, just the most important is if you feel like you can do it yourself, that's great. But you need to do something. Do one step at a time and start, for example, with passwords. And then just, you know, next week set a goal. Let me review my just Wi-Fi policies. Let me just do this. Let me train my stuff. Or bring IT consultant. Or bring, you know, company that would manage the whole network, and you could do whatever you do the rest, run your business. Also, I will recommend just to have cybersecurity insurance. In the case if something happens, you would be protected. That's limiting your risk.
We talked about that on an insurance show, Jay. Thank you for that. I can't help but think, and I don't want to make light of the pandemic at all. I don't. Serious, important stuff. But this is almost like a data cybersecurity pandemic that we're going through, because we don't know. I mean, there's a lot we don't know about catching it, you know, as far as COVID is concerned, and about will it happen to us? You know, God, I'm vulnerable. If anything, you shook the bones right out of me, because yeah, I got some passwords that I'm reusing, guys. I mean, I'm guilty. Like, we all raised our hands. I do use a vault, but I got to let the vault set the password from now on and not let me come up with something that I think I'll remember when Google every once in a while says, you got to re-sign on. And I go, oh, no, I'm so busy.
I think this becomes more and more prevalent as we're becoming a technology society. We already are a technology society. And software companies do a pretty good job of protecting us already, but they don't do a good enough job of protecting us. Because like Jay said, not only you pay fines, but you also, there's some cases where they force them to go pay for Life Alert for every one of your customers, and then you're responsible for paying for their monthly Life Alert fee. If you got a couple thousand customers, are you going to be able to pay a $20, $30 Life Alert monthly charge for your customers for 6 months to a year? No. So I think we have to, you know, once again, I appreciate you for allowing us to bring this topic. What really hit me is during this business meeting with Jay in our group, you know, Jay showed us they do a vulnerability scan on this business. It's very much like Hunter. Green and red. Red means you have vulnerabilities. Green means you're good. And there might be a shade in between that, Jay, if there is.
Yellow.
There's yellow. And he did this company, took this company. It was anonymous. And it was red, 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 red. Everything was red. And I'm like, oh, wow. How many businesses out there right now, this is common? Yeah, I'm an IT guy. I like me and Jay, we're brothers. We're IT brothers. We geek out all the time. We talk about this stuff. But how many people aren't like that who need to be aware of this?
Thanks for bringing this to us. Jay Mikulovich, CEO, Revival Technology, and of course, great friend of the podcast, Chris Cloutier partner in Golden Rule Auto Care and the CEO of Auto Techs Me and my master geek friend. And you know what? I never really thought of ever picking up the phone and talking, this happened, but nothing's happened. If anything does ever happen to me, you guys are the first I'm going to call.
Absolutely.
Don't call me because I'll just forward the line to Jay. That's all I'm going to do.
You're going to be my lifeline right there.
To be honest with you, I like helping just because I know it's very sad to see companies going down. Okay. It's on the news. And that's why you need to make sure just, you know, you protect it. That's your life that you invested. So just, of course, anything that we can do, we're actually just coming up with videos to do some training, like just how to protect your password. What's MFA, 2FA, about network and things like that. So to train, and that's, we're planning to give it away for free because we see it's a war going on right now. It's a big war. So, and we're trying to protect U.S. businesses from that.
That's a big hello. I'll put your company a link in the show notes page. Okay, man?
Okay. I appreciate
that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Carm.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.